Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast channel. My name is Thato Maruapula and I am an associate in CDH's Employment Law Department. Joining me today is Mr. Bongani Masuku, a director in our Employment Law Department. Bongani and I will be discussing whether the Labour Court has the jurisdiction to dismiss a review application that is deemed withdrawn in terms of the practice manual of the Labour Court. Welcome, Bongani.
Thank you for having me, Thato. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you, Bongani. So, Bongani, the starting point for our discussion today will be the rules of the Labour Court. For the benefit of those who are not too familiar with the rules, what do they say concerning review applications at the Labour Court?
So there are three important things to note there, Thato. Right at the beginning, there is the legislative piece, and then there are rules, and then there is a practice manual. The rules specifically provide for the procedure that parties are to use to bring review applications before the Labour Court and other types of applications as well. Very briefly, the rules regulate the manner in which proceedings are started before the Labour Court and the timeframes relating to when certain things are supposed to be done. If I can just go into the Labour Relations Act aspect of things in terms of the review applications, the Section 145 of the LRA provides for the right of all parties, be it employer or an employee, to review an arbitration award of either the CCMA or a bargaining council, to challenge it on review before the Labour Court. And that is the section you will use. That section requires you to file your review application within 6 weeks of having received an arbitration award that you don't like, that you want to challenge before the Labour Court. And then the practice manual provides a variety of things in relation to how a review application is supposed to be dealt with. It's ordinarily an urgent application, and therefore it's necessary for all the papers to be filed within 12 months of the launching of the review application. The other thing to note is that the record of the arbitration proceedings that are under challenge in a review application needs to be filed within 60 days of the CCMA or the Bargaining Council sending it to the Labour Court. And then the other important period is the period of 6 months within which the practice manual requires all parties to make sure that they've indexed and paginated the court file and requested the set down. So those are sort of some of the important timeframes in relation to the LRA and Section 145, the rules, and then the practice manual.
Thank you, Bongani. You mentioned the LRA, the rules, and the practice manual. Briefly, what is the distinction between the rules and the practice manual of the Labour Court?
So the simple answer is that the rules are rules that are passed by the Rules Board of the Labour Court, and they obviously govern everything from start to finish in terms of the nature of the applications you can bring before the Labour Court, the time frames for those type of things. The practice manual, on the other hand, is more a manual or a directive of the court itself, not passed by the Rules Board, and it's intended to give flesh to the rules, because the rules are usually, you know, scant. They don't provide for the level of detail that the practice manual goes into in dealing with specific applications. And also, it's important to note that the practice manual only really gives flesh to specific types of applications and doesn't deal with every single aspect that the rules do. So the important thing is that the practice manual should not be interpreted as a parallel system to the rules. It's more a supplementing document to the rules that the court puts in place to help give flesh to some aspects of the rules.
Thank you for the clarity, Bongani. I have often heard parties say that they will be bringing a Rule 11 application. What is this?
So Rule 11 is the rule that provides for the manner and the time frames within which all interlocutory applications before the Labour Court must be brought. An interlocutory application is an application within an application. So if you take an example of a review application and you want to bring an application, say, for the dismissal of the review application, you would utilize Rule 11 because that is an interlocutory application, in other words, an action within an action. In relation to review applications, it's common practice for the Labour Court for a party before the proceedings to launch a review application and then to not take steps to prosecute that review application as diligently as they are required by both the rules and the practice manual. And Rule 11 provides an avenue through which a respondent party can then approach the court with an application to have that main application that has not been prosecuted diligently dismissed for want of prosecution. Put simply, Rule 11 provides a mechanism through which a respondent party can actually fast-track the finalization of a dispute between themselves and the applicant party.
Thank you, Bongani. I often hear litigants and judges as well saying that review applications has been deemed withdrawn or archived if the applicant fails to take certain steps within the stipulated timelines that you just identified. Does the Labour Court have the jurisdiction to dismiss a review application that is deemed withdrawn in terms of the practice manual?
So, interesting question you raised, Tato. There's been a number of conflicting judgments in the Labour Court dealing with this particular issue. The starting point of the discussion, I think, for me, is the practice manual provides for the deemed withdrawn of a review application where specific things happen or where they don't happen. Let's take a specific example. You file a review application, you don't prosecute it within 6 months, you don't file, you don't index and paginate the court file, you don't prepare it for set down, you don't file a Rule 22B notice requesting the matter to be set down. That happens in the 6 months period from the date of the filing of the review application lapses, then your review application, by virtue of the provisions of the practice manual, is deemed withdrawn. If within 12 months all the papers in the review application are not served and filed as required by the practice manual, then that review application is archived by the Office of the Registrar of the Labour Court. Now, with that background in mind, some judgments in the Labour Court have decided that a review application that has been deemed withdrawn, let's start with that example, is no longer before the Labour Court because it's been deemed withdrawn, and therefore you can't, as a respondent party, you can't apply to have it dismissed in terms of Rule 11, which is what I've just explained a moment ago. Some judgments of the Labour Court went a different route. The explanation for the first judgments that I've referred to that have said, because it's deemed withdrawn, it's no longer before the Labour Court, and therefore you can't apply to dismiss it, are proceeding on the basis that once the review application is deemed withdrawn, then there's no underlying causa, that's what we call it, before the Labour Court. And for that reason, you can't bring an application to dismiss something that almost does not exist. That is the logic. Some other judgments have held that you can, and I think the important one for present purposes is NUMSA on behalf of Mavuso versus Minimega Pty Ltd, trading as Rustenburg Engine Center judgment. And that is a more recent one of the Labour Court from 2022, where the Labour Court has decided that you can actually bring an application to dismiss a review application that either has been deemed withdrawn or that has been archived in terms of the provisions of the practice manual. The difficulty is that an application that's been deemed withdrawn or one that has been archived by the registrar is still capable of being resuscitated. And how one does that is through what is called an application for the reinstatement of an application for review that's been deemed withdrawn. So for that reason, on the authorities discussed, the judgments that go against the dismissal of an application for review once it's been deemed withdrawn, the recent one in Mavuso that says that you still can, the issue of jurisdiction of the Labour Court comes into play. And the ones that say that you can't dismiss an application for review that has been deemed withdrawn or archived have been proceeding on the basis that the Labour Court actually does not have jurisdiction in the absence of an underlying causa, a review application that has not been deemed withdrawn. The Labour Court does not have jurisdiction to actually dismiss that, but that has been changed somewhat by the Mavuso judgment.
Thank you for your insight, Bongani. It certainly is interesting. What would you say is the importance of the Mavuso judgment?
So in Mavuso, if I'm just to give you a bit of a background on that, the respondent party brought an application to dismiss a review application due to the failure of the applicant party to prosecute that review application diligently. You know, there are timelines within which a review application must be filed. There are timelines within which a record in the review application must be filed, a 7A8 notice and any supplementary affidavit must be filed within a specific timeline, and then all the papers must be filed within 12 months, but within 6 months you must have done certain things to set the matter down and index and paginate the file. In that case, that did not happen. The review application was filed out of time, in other words, outside of the 6 weeks period, and it was not prosecuted diligently in compliance with some of the timelines that I've referred to just now. At some point, the respondent party filed an application to have that application for review dismissed, and the respondent party opposed it. And in that matter, in deciding the application to dismiss, the Labour Court adopted a more flexible approach to the interpretation of the practice manual, and it came to the conclusion that even though it was deemed withdrawn, the application for review that is, the Labour Court still enjoyed its jurisdiction to entertain an application to dismiss and to dismiss that review application, despite the deeming provisions of the practice manual and despite the provisions that deal with the issue of archiving of the application for review if it's not prosecuted. The Labour Court there relied on two judgments, one of the earlier Court of the Labour Court and one of the High Court, where the applications dealt with the application for the withdrawal
of a rescission application, and the other one dealt with an application for the withdrawal of an urgent application. So in those two cases, the principle that came out was that despite the applicant party having brought a motion before the court and having at some point decided that he wants to withdraw that motion, in the one case an urgent application, in the other case a rescission application, the courts refused to allow the applicant party to withdraw that application and proceeded to decide the matter on the merits, despite the attempt by the applicant who had brought the matter to court in the first place trying to withdraw it. And there are a number of reasons why the court would exercise its discretion in that fashion, but the long and short of it is that the court, in appropriate circumstances, may decide to continue to hear a matter on the merits, that is, in the one case, the rescission application, and in the other case, the urgent application, despite an attempt by the applicant party to withdraw that application. Now, using that line of reasoning, the Labour Court in Mavuso then tells us that because the deeming provisions of the practice manual are actually that, deeming provisions, but not an actual withdrawal of a matter by the applicant, it is still within the court's discretion to hear an application to dismiss such a review application because, to put it simply, the review application is only deemed withdrawn and is not actually withdrawn, even if the Labour Court continued to explain, even if the application had been actually withdrawn by the applicant party on the authority of the two judgments I've discussed briefly now, the Labour Court could still continue to hear that application. But another important principle that comes out is the flexibility with which the provisions of the practice manual need to be applied by the Labour Court. And here the Labour Court emphasizes that the practice manual itself provides that it does not give any hard and fast rules and that its provisions must be applied flexibly. And if one was to apply it flexibly, then it shouldn't disentitle the Labour Court from exercising a discretion to hear an application to dismiss, even in the circumstances where an application for review had in fact been deemed withdrawn or archived. So that is what I think would be the importance of that case. The case, you know, provides some light at the end of a long drawn out tunnel, because true finality lies in a respondent party being able to get a court order that says the review application that he was opposing has been dismissed. Not that the review application has been deemed withdrawn or that it's been archived, because of the possibility that I explained earlier, that that application can still be resuscitated through an application for reinstatement. So I think that this is a great stride by the Labour Court in Mavuso to ensure that at least some respondent parties in litigation before the Labour Court, particularly in review applications, can still be able to achieve true finality. What I call true finality is effectively the proper dismissal of a review application. There is no greater finality than an order dismissing the review application from the Labour Court. To say that an application for review has been deemed withdrawn or has been archived, it does not provide a respondent party with the finality that an order dismissing that review application does. So I think that that case, for those reasons, is quite an important one. But be that as it may, it remains to be seen whether the Labour Appeal Court will agree with the Labour Court on what it says here in light of the other conflicting judgments of the same court.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Bongani. And as you have mentioned, there's been conflicting judgments coming out of the Labour Court, and it remains to be seen whether the Labour Appeal Court will align itself with the reasoning of the Mavuso judgment. And thank you once again, Bongani. That will then bring us to the end of our discussion today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Tato. Thank you for having me.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.